Lucette Lignato's new memoir is about her family's exodus from Egypt and the really hard part that followed, making lives in the Promised Land. Her father, Leon, was a charmer who hobnobbed with Cairo's social elite. Her mother, Edith, was brilliant, bookish, and beautiful. She read all of Proust before she was 15 and became chief librarian of a Jewish school in Cairo and the protege of a pasha's wife. But Edith was more or less forced to marry Leon when she was just 20. He was in his 40s. The family began to face a series of calamities, what the author lists as rabies, broken bones, typhoid fever, and the death of an infant, before the 1952 revolution that installed Gamal Abdel Nasser sent Jews fleeing from Egypt. Their family settled in Brooklyn in the 60s, where they struggled to get by in a new landscape. Lucette Lignato's new book is The Arrogant Years, One Girl's Search for Her Lost Youth from Cairo to Brooklyn. Ms. Lignato is also an investigative reporter for the Wall Street Journal and author of a previously acclaimed memoir of her father, Man in the White Sharkskin Suit. She joins us from member station WLRN in Miami. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's lovely to be with you this morning, Scott.
Tell us about that kind of lost world that your parents grew up in and began their life together, Cairo in the late 40s and early 50s.
I'm so haunted by it, you know. It's sort of become the core of my life and my research, that once upon a time there was an Arab culture where Jews and Christians and Muslims worked together and socialized together and went to school together. And come the end of the week, they would go to pray in their respective houses of worship. And for me, one of the greatest pleasures of writing these books was, you know, researching that culture.
And the phrase arrogant years refers more to a time of life than anything else?
Yeah, it's actually a key theme of my book, which really tells parallel stories of my mom and me. My mother, Edith, very lovely and I guess to some degree arrogant in her youth, loses it all, experiences a major fall. And I guess so do I, but in my case, it's a different kind of fall. It's a terrible illness that beset me at the age of 16. So it was Hodgkin's disease, a cancer of the lymph nodes, which sort of struck me kind of like a sledgehammer at this age when a young girl is arrogant.
What did your parents find most confounding about America?
They found so much, I'm afraid, that was confounding. There were so many contradictions. Yes, it was magically a land of freedom of religion, but so many people around us really weren't practicing their faith. And then, yes, it was, again, theoretically, a country where you valued family, except they saw families all around them breaking down. And that's what they feared the most, you see. They feared that we were all going to be lost. Already, you know, within months of our coming to New York, my older sister, Suzette, the rebel, the wild one, moved out to get her own apartment. Well, okay, that's not a big deal in an American family. But in my family, it was seen as catastrophic.
Is that what your mother was referring to, the phrase that keeps coming back in the book, Lulu, you're the family nickname for her. Lulu, you must rebuild the hearth.
She was so desperate to keep us all together, to sort of reattain our lost grandeur from Egypt.
There she was, celebrated and happy at the age of 20, kind of forced into a marriage with your father, who I guess one of the first things he asked her to do was turn in her key to the Pasha's library. She did get, it wasn't the Pasha's library, but it was the Brooklyn Public Library, right, where she began to work and found herself surrounded by books and kind
she
of
did.
A rekindling.
Absolutely. She loved it so, actually. And you know why? She was with this crowd of people that was very much like her. May I read actually a few lines?
By all means.
Yeah, because it's actually one of my favorite sections in the book. She felt at home among these exiles, expatriates and emigres and loners, every bit as lost and diminished as she was in America. They banded together in a crowded corner of the third floor of Grand Army Plaza, and there, amid carts bulging with books in every language on earth and rickety steel shelves crammed with the thick reference volumes of the Library of Congress and the stacks of beige catalog cards that Mom and the other clerks typed up throughout the day, they rebuilt the hearth. She was only a clerk, you know, minimum wage, no doubt. And yet, I think in her mind, she might as well have been running the library. She really loved that job so much.
If somehow your parents had been able to remain in the Cairo, which they loved and cherished, would the family have been together, and would that have made those years easier to bear?
That's always been the fantasy, hasn't it? The fantasy that drove me, that if only we could have stayed, you know, once upon a time. 80,000 Jews lived in Egypt in the 30s and 40s when there was, you know, all this persecution going on in Europe. They were fine. And the Jews and the Muslims and the Copts were animated by the same value for family, for closeness. You lived on one street and your aunt was down the block and you would get together for, you know, lunch and dinner regularly, not once a year. And I think, of course, if they had been able to stay somehow, I think their story and my story would have been very, very different.
Lucette Lignato, her new book, The Arrogant Years, One Girl's Search for Her Lost Youth from Cairo to Brooklyn. Thanks so much.
Thank you.